Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome to DSC's Campfires with Larry Wysoon, the unique blend of hunting, fishing, wildlife conservation, and the outdoor lifestyle. DSC's Campfires is brought to you by DSC, Conservation, Education, and Hunter Advocacy, Hornady, Accurate, Deadly, Dependable, Trigicon, Brilliant Aiming Solutions, Taurus, award-winning pistols and revolvers, Mossberg, American Built, American Strong, and the Red 55 Winery in Lindale, Texas, signature wines of Grammy Award-winning country artist Miranda Lambert and owned by Rick and Beverly Lambert.
Welcome to another episode of DSC's Campfires. We're here on the Choctaw Hunting Lodge. I've got Mr. Jim Bequette and Mr. Jim Block. And these guys have been up here hunting buffalo. They're hunting with Sharps rifles, 45-70s, open sights. And which one of you wants to start about this hunt? Because, and how did this hunt get started, actually? I'll start with Mr. Bequette, okay?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. Jim and I bought these Sharps rifles, good gosh, 25 years ago, and we always talked about, you know, using them on a hunt, and, you know, time slipped away and never went down that road, and here about a month, maybe 6 weeks ago, I called Jim's wife. Jim's birthday was coming up, and I said, hey, I got a great idea for a surprise birthday present for Jim. And I told her about, you know, I had called you about and asked you for a recommendation in terms of where to go hunting, and you mentioned, you know, the Choctaw. And so I told Chris, I said, hey, Larry recommended this place, and actually Larry's going to be there while we're there, and if it's okay with you, I can go ahead and book the hunts. And so I talked to Dusty, and it all came together pretty fast. And then I told Chris, his wife, I said, he is going to be stunned because he has no idea that this is going to happen. And sure enough, we actually got on FaceTime for his birthday, and Chris gave him the present. And so 25 years after we bought the rifles, you know, here we are, and Jim, you know, the first day we were here, connected on a great, you know, bull, and of course, typical of me and my hunting experiences, it took all the way to the last day of the hunt for me to connect on a bull, and gee, there's just, you know, the tradition that the Sharps rifle has, you know, shooting with iron sights in 45-70 government, you know, and you know, I can't think of a better way to hunt buffalo, and so pretty neat stuff, and I'm sure Jim feels the same way.
Oh, it's fantastic. Just what an experience, Larry. And I can't thank you guys enough for putting this together. When Jim said I was surprised, when I read my wife's card to me, I was shaking.
I understand that.
Literally. And she put her hands on my shoulder and said, calm down. This is something we had talked about for years, yeah. And it's like, it's a good thought. It'd be great to do
one of
this.
These days.
But, you know, a lot of times one of these days does not happen. But thanks to you and Jim and my wife, this all came together, and the people at the Choctaw Lodge here have just been fantastic. It's been an experience that I will. It will never leave my annals.
Well, let's go back a few years. How did you guys? Y'all have been this in your first hunt. Y'all been friends for at least four or 5 years, right?
Try 55 years.
5 years.
Yeah, it goes back to literally, or actually, we first met in grade school, and then in high school, we went to the same high school together, and that was back in the, you know, we graduated in 1970, so, you know, all you have to do is count back from here.
Easy math.
And it's a funny story. We obviously, we shared a lot of the same interest, but hunting and shooting and firearms, and true story, I think I've told you this story before, Larry, that Jim and I, literally, when we were in high school, we used to write to gun manufacturers and request catalogs.
Oh, yeah. Then.
And gosh, when we got a catalog in the mail from Marlin or Remington or whoever, you know, it was so exciting to open up the envelope. And I still have, and I think Jim does too, the envelope the catalog, you know, from literally from the 60s, you know, and gosh, you know, fast forward and my being able to be in the industry after all that, I mean, it's like I would have never in my wildest dreams thought I would have, made a living, you know, literally by working in the gun industry. But we've stayed in touch with one another over the years. You know, I moved away from home, and we always got together for long weekends. And my wife and Jim's wife became very close friends. I was best man in Jim's wedding. Jim was in my wedding, you know. And we've always shared a lot of the same interests. But guns have been a central focus, and in fact, I'll let Jim tell the story about he took me over to Denny Dennis, and I bought my first
to where?
Denny Dennis, which is a major sporting goods store in St. Louis, and he's still in business, and that's where I bought my first firearm. It was we bought two firearms there, a Remington Model 760 pump and 30-06. He got one, I got one. And then I bought a Marlin 39A there as well. But Jim can tell you a little bit of the history about Denny Dennis. And I mean, he's in that region. I mean, he's legendary, you know, and the store has been open for decades.
The store is probably from the 50s. And Denny was just an avid hunter. Hunted all over the world, and I'm sure a lot of people know the name Denny Dennis. He would have his mounts in the hardware store. It was actually a hardware store, and he had a small fishing and hunting section originally. And ultimately, the hardware store went bye-bye, and he just focused on the hunting and fishing, and then now it's mostly shooting and hunting. But it was quite an experience that I just convinced Jim, let's go over and take a look at these. And, you know, he's got so much stuff in his store, you're not going to believe it. And we did. And as Jim said, he ended up walking out of there with a 760 Remington and a Marlin 39A. And it was just a great experience. And we took those 760s hunting, I believe bear.
Yeah,
and we just had some good rides over the years.
And normally when we got together, Larry, I mean, again, we didn't get to see each other very often when we lived, a couple hundred miles away from each other. But when we got together, it seemed like more times than not, we always found a little bit of time to go shoot, you know, and we ended up. It's a great story. We went on a bear hunt in Montana, black bear hunt, 50 years ago, and didn't get anything. And literally just a couple of years ago, Jim and I went on another black bear hunt. First time in 50 years we went black bear hunting again. I got COVID.
Jim got a black bear. So I came home empty-handed, but I was thrilled that after 50 years, and Jim used a Marlin rifle. You know, he and I are both big Marlin guys, and that was one of the highlights. Even though I didn't get to pull the trigger, that was wonderful, you know, to see my best friend, you know, tag a black bear. That was neat after 50 years.
I got to interrupt you guys because you asked reading that question when you said who. I used to do a lot of seminars in this store. I have been in that store with Daddy Dennis numerous times, and I used to run into him all the time. I'd see him at the SHOT Show, and he and I'd sit in the corner and talk for 15, 20 minutes kind of thing. So when you said that, I go, wait a minute, I know, oh my gosh, yes, kind of thing. Yeah. Now, I would ask you, because he went to work for Shooting Times. Did he call you when he went to work for Shooting Times?
He did.
Did you believe him?
Well, he told me what I found interesting was at the time, and I believe this is correct. Jim can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe at the time he was, I knew he had an interview,
mm-hmm.
and then he said he had gotten the job. But if I remember correctly, he actually took somewhat of a pay cut to take that job. And I think was Connie pregnant at the time?
Yeah, she was.
Good timing.
And he's like, Connie was about to kill me.
That's a true story. That I took a pay cut to go to work for Shooting Times, and Connie was pregnant with our first child, and that was back in December of 77, and up until a few years ago, you know, I was still associated with Shooting Times and Guns and Ammo and a bunch of other publications as the editorial director. And like I said before, I'll tell anyone who's willing to listen, you know, I've been blessed with a wonderful career and meeting people like you, Larry, and you know, that's what, talking about the buffalo hunt, that's what these hunts are all about. It's not about, you know, knocking something on the ground. It's just about the memories and using.
I wish you had told us before we did all the walking and everything. It wasn't about knocking it on the ground. Wait a minute, Jim. We've hunted hard all week long. You could have told us that. You know, we don't need to go shoot one anymore.
It always helps,
Oh my gosh, of course, yes.
to actually get a trophy, but it's, you know, the
deal. Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
it's
the guns you're hunting with, it's the people you're hunting with,
sir.
And you know, being able to do it with Jim and Dusty, what a great outfitter. I had never met him before, and you had recommended him, and so I felt confident that he ran a good ship, and he does, and what a wonderful place. And again, to share a hunt like this with Jim and you, Larry, it's special. It really is.
When you guys, he told me what was going to happen, I wanted to be here. I'll be very open with you. I passed up the last week of hunting for whitetail deer on my lease, and I found some deer to shoot, but I came here instead because I wanted to be here with you guys.
Yeah,
so,
I'm glad you did.
No, I am too. What a pleasure and honor to have been here during the time frame when, as it worked out. I mean, you worked for years too. I mean, you really did. It wasn't just let's drive out there and shoot, you know, kind of thing. It's a lot of places in Buffalo are that way. But here we actually had a hunt. I mean, a serious hunt, and we got fortunate with the one that you were able to get on them, and then we chased one buffalo around for 3 days, whatever it was. I mean, literally for 3 days. You know, sat, glassed, walked, everything you could do, and just couldn't get on him. And then we got lucky late this afternoon. Yeah. Last day of the hunt.
Last day. Typical Jim.
Yeah, typical Jim. Last time I was at the gym, it came down to the last 30 minutes of the hunt, you know, of a several day whitetail hunt. So
we've been on a lot of hunts together, It seems like I'm always bringing up the rear.
You know what? But I kind of like that. I like that stretching it out. We're not seriously filming. We actually film these hunts for A Sportsman's Life. But, you know, we call it real world hunting. And if you get it on camera, that's fine. If not, you know, so much, who cares kind of thing. But We did. This turned out to be quite a hunt. Now, both of you guys were shooting Sharps replicas. They were slightly different in the looking of the barrels more than anything else. And yours was a...
It's a Sharps. It's a Shiloh Sharps. It's called the Montana Rough Rider. And it's in 4570. Now, I was shooting a 495 grain cast bullet that I cast, and I was shooting it over black powder. I, you know, consider that about as traditional as I could do it.
Yeah,
and that's what I wanted to do. It was it was a labor of love there getting that, but it worked out well, and it just fulfilled everything I wanted to do to get a buffalo. Mm. It was just the way I wanted to do it, and it couldn't have worked out better. And like you said, Dusty was just great getting us where we needed to be. And when we spotted that buffalo, it's like, okay, we can't go right here. We're going
to
spook him. We need to move. And, I mean, just following his lead, he put us right there where we needed to be, and it worked out well. Like I said, this has just been a great experience, Larry.
I totally agree. I was able to sit behind and watch and giggle and laugh and watch you guys visit a little bit here and there. Now, Jim, we had a buffalo come in under less than light ideal conditions, didn't we?
Yeah. You know, it's never easy. You know, there's always something that pops up. And good gosh, I think it's the first time it's ever happened that, you know, I'm always safety conscious about loading and unloading a rifle. And, you know, I was also fired up about this afternoon and getting on those buffalo, and I forgot I had unloaded my rifle when we came in earlier, and then when we went back out, I forgot to load the rifle. And I'm sitting there thinking, did I load a round? And this is after we saw that, you know, the buffalo were moving on us.
Right.
And I thought, did I load that right? And I felt in my pocket. I knew I had four cartridges. And I put my hand out in my pocket, and I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I said, uh-oh. Pulled one out and loaded it. And I know you guys will never let go of that.
Well,
I know I'll hear that till the day I die.
I gave you a hard time because on the last hunt that you and I were together on, I was hunting
whitetail,
and we were in and out of vehicles and, you know, safety conscious, crawling up into blinds and doing this. And I knew I was loaded, and I actually, the difference was you caught it before you pulled the trigger on an animal. I learned that I wasn't loaded when I pulled the trigger on an animal, and it cost me the animal because, I mean, he heard it, and then he was gone kind of thing. So
I hate to think.
You know, it really does.
I'd rather
err in terms of safety than, you know, something else.
Yeah. I hate to think what Dusty would have done to me if I had snapped that on an empty chamber after chasing buffalo for, you know, almost 4 days. I can't imagine.
And we did.
He probably would have been facing a prison sentence.
But then one afternoon, we sat in a blind where we figured, you know, this buffalo may be coming through there. And we had one, that was one I was referring to, that came in, but it came in really late. And with those more traditional type sights, the peep sights that you guys are using with it was too late. I mean, you just could not see the sights.
I think I mentioned it to Dusty, and I know I said it to you and Jim coming before the hunt, that, you know, these tired old eyes I've got, you know, Jim and I are both, you know, in our early 70s, and I told Jim, I said, If we're going to do this with, you know, aperture, you know, tang sights, I said, man, we need to do it, you know, because, you know, you don't know how many years you got left to do that type of hunt. And whereas if you got a scoped rifle, and I was tempted, you know, I had a 375 Ruger with me, and I thought, you know, maybe it'd be a lot easier. And then I thought, you know, that's not why we're here.
I kept kind of not really pushing you, but at the same time, you know, I said, you know, we could take the 375, but each time I was so proud of you and for you for saying
no,
you know. let's play it out. And my gosh, it paid off.
I was having trouble getting a clear sight picture on that buffalo today, and gosh, when I squeezed the trigger, and I was elated that, you know, could tell him made a good hit, and didn't run very far, but I just kept squinting and trying to get, you know, the full circle on the on this, and I just thought, you know, it's I think now that I think about it, I think it's the first, maybe the second big game animal I've shot with iron sights. You know, everything's scoped, you know,
yes.
Now and do it like the old timers did, you know, the original buffalo hunters. That is just so cool. I'm sure Jim would agree with me on that.
Oh, yeah. And they're such a beautiful animal.
They're
just magnificent. And big is the word. And can be very tenacious.
Sometimes you got to put a lot of lead in.
Yeah.
You do. But with due respect, you were using
using a commercial factory load.
Expandable load, and you were shooting essentially
hard
cast bullets.
Hard cast.
You know, and
right.
To me, the shots that you guys made were no different in terms of accuracy, in terms of in the vitals. But with Jim's, with expandable, it just made a larger wound channel. And with yours,
right.
You know, with all due respect to him shooting them with one shot, I'm one of those guys who likes to shoot into an animal a bunch. So I'm on your side. I kind of like doing that.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Yeah, it worked out well for both of us.
It really did.
It's two different types of hunts, you know, with him shooting black powder. I told him, I said, to build your own hand load and then get an animal.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the first time, right?
That's the first time I've done that.
And casting your own bullets. And, I mean, to me, I'm one of those, it involves everything, you know, from the beginning to the end. And there's a lot of parts of that.
Yeah, and, you know, Jim talking about, you know, the percentage of tin and antimony.
Right.
You know, and the lead bullet. I mean, there's a lot to it. And, you know, you gotta do it right or you're not going to be successful, and Jim obviously did. So that's just cool. It's just neat. And I do want to give a plug to our mutual good friend Mike Venturino. You know, Mike kind of got us early on, you know, he was writing for Shooting Times at the time,
right.
And Jim had met him, and he wrote books about, you know, the Sharps rifles and buffalo hunters the whole deal. A book called Buffalo Guns,
right?
And of course, the Sharps Rifle Company being right there in Montana near Mike, and I was fortunate enough to visit and see how they did things firsthand. And you know, the old Made in America, the craftsmen, everything.
Amen.
You know, they don't use outside vendors. Everything is done right there in good old Big Timber, Montana. And I've gotten to know Kirk Bryant, one of the owners, and just what a fabulous rifle it is.
And
they've been very true
to
the original design,
right.
You know, which means a lot. You know, it's just so, you know, it's just special all the way around.
Oh,
you
my
know?
Gosh.
It's,
and not only that, the wood on both your rifles is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's really pretty.
They do an excellent job. Shiloh is just... You know, quality from the beginning to end.
Yeah, it's I've always been a wood guy. You know, that's my one weakness, man. Kirk, the story behind that is Kirk, one of my visits, he says, let me take you in the wood shop. I said, nah, I don't know if I want to go
gosh.
In there. You know, because I wasn't planning on buying a rifle. He goes, no, come on in. And he took me into the wood little room with this all, you know, double, triple X grade wood.
Right.
And he put a little, I think it was linseed oil or something on a couple of just stock blanks.
Right, so you could see.
You know, to bring up the grain.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm going, oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble. I can tell it already. And sure enough, you know, he, I mean, he...
he went way out of his way to help me put that rifle together. It's got a octagon to round barrel, and what a beautiful stock. And the workmanship, like Jim said, is top drawer. I mean, they don't cut corners. And to this day, and a testament to the quality craftsmanship, is that they're still like 18 months back ordered. If you put a order in today, you're gonna have to wait 18 months to get it. So, but what I would recommend to anybody that wants to revisit, you know, how it was in the old days, and want to shoot a single shot rifle.
Yes.
Not an AR, not a repeater. No. You know, it's, you know, take a look at the Sharps. It's what a beautiful rifle. And I think the design is,
and the tradition involved. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's a big part of it.
It goes back 150 years, but the design is unchanged. You know, it's the action itself. What, just wonderful. Just, yeah, I can't say enough good things about them.
Hmm. Hmm. Well, we've got a little bit of time left this afternoon. I want to come back, and we'll revisit some of this in the future.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling you, Mr. Locke, said that this may not be the last time you come hunt buffalo.
Oh, no. I'll be back. Yeah. I'll be back. This has been such an experience. Yeah.
Well, I'll have to tell you, I've been fortunate. I've shot two buffalo, and both of them been in Oklahoma, a little bit farther west of here. And I just kind of put those out of my mind until I started hunting with you guys here on this trip. And now I'm thinking about, okay, instead of going on this hunt, maybe I can come back here and do a buffalo hunt. And let's see. I don't know if I want to wait 18 months for Sharp's rifle, but, you know, maybe it's worth the wait, kind of a...
Well, you can use one of our rifles.
I may do that.
That's
we
right.
may try to come down and do a three-way next time, you know, would be fantastic.
I've got another Sharp's. It's a 16-pounder, which is the original, as you know, the original rifle. So that's...
Really?
Yeah, it's sitting in my gun rack, Larry, if you want to use
gosh,
it.
Oh, my gosh, you had to say that, didn't you?
But
sweetheart, my wife, if you're listening to this, we really don't want to spend a week or two on the coast, do we? I think we need a buffalo. I need a buffalo hunt.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever be able to surprise Jim again. Or thanks to his wife, because obviously she had to say, yeah, okay. And she did. She didn't hesitate. She didn't say, yeah, let me call you back. She was like, go for it, man. Do it. You know, so that was cool. That was.
She is great about that.
She is great about that. Yeah, she was so excited about Jim going and stuff. That was neat.
I think it is superb. Yeah.
Not everybody's wife would encourage that type of...
You're exactly right.
But, Jim and I were talking earlier about, you know, the processor, you know, doing the meat for us and stuff, and I can't wait to bite into a bison burger.
You're going to be very pleasantly...
I'm sure.
Buffalo meat is absolutely really good, including the steaks. I like the loin or the ribeye, and like New York steak, and even sirloins, and they are really good. The bulls that you guys killed, they're going to be just... tenders, you'll be surprised there as well, too.
Yeah,
we're both looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Yeah,
have a cookout. You'll have to come up.
Later. Well, I may just surprise you, by the way. Well, I talked to Dusty a little bit earlier. He said he wants to go run around maybe a little bit and show y'all some more of the ranch this afternoon.
Yeah,
so,
that'd be great.
Why don't we close this out? We'll get back together again before too very long. And ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all so very much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here with us today. And Jim, thank you so much for allowing me to be part of this buffalo hunt, and particularly being as special as it was with the birthday present and all that kind of thing. And let's go out and we'll take a predator call. Maybe we can call up a coyote or something, or who knows what we might run into. So ladies and gentlemen, join us right back here next week, right here
Same place, same everything on DSC's Campfires. Thank y'all for joining us.
DSC's Campfires has also been brought to you by the Crown Bar in LaGrange, Texas. Habit, our gear, your adventure. The Texas Wildlife Association, Double Nickel Taxidermy, Burnham Brothers Game Calls, and H3 Whitetail Solutions.